Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker here on June 1st, 2020. I'll be ready when it's December 31st, 2020. We can kick 2020 to the curb. It's not been that great. But I'm pleased to be joined this week by all week by Maddie Glab, Mad Girl, coming in, and she's going to be with us all week. Maddie, how you doing? But first of all, happy birthday. Last Wednesday was your birthday. You turned 16.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, I turned 16. I can finally drive a car now. I'm really excited about that, you know.
Congratulations. It's nice. And you waited till the weekend to celebrate. I gotta ask you, though, with what's going on, did you find, you know, a spot where you could celebrate away from all the turmoil and that's going on?
Honestly, not really. Even on my birthday, I mean, it was a tough week to want to celebrate anything. So when Saturday came around and me and some of my friends grilled out, even then, it's just, it was tough to want to celebrate yourself amidst what's going on. So it was good to be with some friends. It's good to be able to, you know, see some people now that restrictions are not as tough as they used to be in quarantine, and Buffalo's opening and phase two is going to begin tomorrow, I believe. And so it's nice that things are becoming more relaxed, but at the same time with what's going on in the country and all the turmoil, you know, there's not a lot of happiness, and I didn't feel happy much at all. So, not the best week to celebrate a birthday, but maybe I'll get to celebrate that down the road during summer when most things are open. But it was a somber weekend. I think, you know, you're feeling the same way. Just waking up on Monday morning and just seeing Twitter and seeing the news, it's just, it's heartbreaking and it's really tough.
Now, you live down in downtown Buffalo, and I'm out in the burr. I'm out in East Aurora, considered almost the country, but you got a chance to actually see some stuff that was going on in Buffalo, and you made some pretty good observations about what you saw that was, you know, some distinctions you need to make about what's going on, even in Buffalo, and particularly obviously around the country. It probably applies to that as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you saw.
As we were outside on Saturday, we saw the protesters walking by, and it was clear that there was a group of 200 or 300 very peaceful protesters walking down Elmwood, not causing any violence, not causing any ruckus, protesting for something that's great to protest for, that I stand with. And after the 300 peaceful protesters walked by, there was a group of maybe 15 people that walked by 10 minutes later. And so it was obvious to see there was a separation between the two. And the smaller group was the more violent group, doing things like throwing garbage cans in the streets, breaking into some car windows and things like that. But I think it's really important to make sure that the protesters are called protesters, the looters are the looters, and not to mix those two groups together, because it was really obvious to see that those protests were with an intention to be peaceful, an intention to create change, not an intention to be violent. And so I don't want it to be mixed together, because what I saw with my own eyes was peace. And people wanting change. It wasn't violent. There was a group of 10 to 15 people 10 minutes after that were being violent, and they shouldn't be grouped in with the peaceful protesters.
Yeah, I think it's a great distinction to be made, and the fact that you saw it, and it's difficult because the one thing that happens with these that you've law enforcement feels like they need to watch the protesters, but the simple fact of the matter is if they could differentiate and, like you said, stay 10 minutes behind the protesters and trust the protesters are peaceful and look for the looters, it would do away with some of the problems. But man, that's an opinion and an observation that's a light years away from what the problems, you know, are from the center of the activity. We can't even begin to address the problems that simply. It's so complex. But I know this. We had some of our personal friends here in town will know one of my sons married an African girl, met in college here in the States, and they had a big, and being a biracial couple, they had a big decision to make about where they were going to live, because it is difficult for my daughter-in-law in places in the country, that means you know, white suburbs and those kind of villages and places mm-hmm. like that, and they're living in over closer to New York City, and she's been such a gift to our family because, you know, like everybody, we live in this insulated world of white America and privilege and prosperity, and it's just so different for people of color in this country, for black folks in this country. And even my friends that I played with during the time that we were playing, there were countless incidents of my teammates having, you know, problems because they were black, basically. And for some reason or other, that drew the attention of the powers to be, cops or authorities or store owners or store clerks or whatever. So for people like you and me, Matt, it's easy to sit around. You just kind of, you know, you're not affected by it because we don't see it every single day. Mm-hmm. But my friends that I love and respect, and now my family members, they can't. It's everywhere. I mean, they can't go anywhere, and it doesn't affect them every day. So it's something that our country's convulsing over now. And it was interesting too that over the course of this weekend, my family gathered around the TV. Obviously, we had the news on. We were watching protests from all the major cities in the country. You know, you name it. But there was also something else going on. It was the SpaceX launch, mm-hmm. and the country was going back into space. And for the first time since 2011, the United States launched a manned space mission to the ISS. And I took, you know, I think like most people, it's like, wow, cool. You know, particularly since it was private industry, right? It was American ingenuity and thought and doing it. And I thought back to when we first started doing it, our country was in the exact same place in the 1960s. Yeah. People were rioting in the streets, and technology is off on the cutting edge, sending people into space and doing all the stuff, the cool spacesuits this year and the rocket looked awesome. You know, it looked way better than the Apollo rocket ship. This looked like, you know, this looked cool, right? This stuff, mm-hmm. right? This time. And at the same time, they're doing all this cutting edge stuff. We're still stuck in the 1800s here, you know, socially, right?
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. And I think a lot of people have had some tough and some meaningful conversations this weekend, and those need to continue for obvious reasons. And I just want to say this, that my heart hurts for the black community. I don't understand what it's like to be black in America.
Sorry, this is really emotional for me.
It's okay, take a minute. Yeah. Maddie and I are lucky because you and I, Maddie, get to work with the Buffalo Bills, and we get the privilege of working in an interracial environment. There are a lot of African Americans in our building. There are a lot of white people in our building, and we love and respect each other. You know, I mean, I was tweeting and texting back and forth with my teammates from 25 years ago I'm so thankful for them because they were, now I'm going to get emotional, because they were so patient with me because I was a little white farm boy from country who had never competed against a black guy until I got into college. I mean, there was no even black guys in my high school, right? I mean, that's how far away from this I was. And I had so much to learn, and I was so ignorant, and I was so affected by just having a being in the presence of, like, if there were more black guys in the room than white guys, it was uncomfortable for me, right? When I was a kid, I didn't know anybody. I was so, you know, I just didn't know. And then as I grew older, and my black friends, you know, took me under the wing and said, "Bro, just relax." I got to know they, you know, how much there is to love and respect and have fun, and how I have more in common with with my black friends than I do a lot of the white people I interact with every day, and it was so enlightening and so freeing, and so relieving to know that they loved and respected me in return. Yeah. Totally. So yeah, I get why it's an emotional subject for a lot of people. I get choked up at the gift it has been for me to be accepted by guys who had every right not to accept me.
Yeah, and I want to finish the statement. I'll get through it. I don't understand what it's like to be black in America, but I stand with the black community, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes for change. Everyone deserves to be treated equally and respected. It's sickening that we're in 2020 and racism is still a thing. We need to love more and we need to hate less. We need to have empathy. We need to educate ourselves if we are not educated. We need to support those who are hurting, and hearts have to change. Time has been up and enough is enough. All lives can't matter until black lives matter.
I'm attagirl, Maddie. So and having said this, I've always said this too, and we're going to get to football pretty quick here, and we're going to talk about the Bills and stuff, and we're going to segue into that in a moment. But one of the things I have said to my friends who I played with and people who, when this subject comes up, is that I thought, and we've had things happen in pro sports, most notably recently, like Colin Kaepernick, when he knelt in peaceful protest and was vilified, and then, you know, he hasn't played since in the National Football League. So in a lot of respects, the National Football League botched it in not only in the Colin Kaepernick case, but also in probably a bunch of other cases as well that are escaping me now. But most recently, Colin Kaepernick. But also, too, I will say this in my experience and what I've seen otherwise. I would put pro sports, both football and the NBA and maybe some other sports you can think of, perhaps baseball as well. I'm not as familiar with that. But I'll say this, pro football, pro basketball, and pro sports in general are probably at the leading edge of grassroots racial reconciliation, because white guys and black guys are put together. And of course, at first, by happenstance, they're on the same team, and they get acquired in whatever ways. No real, you know, essence of the teams going out and getting this many white guys or this many black guys. But they take the best guys out there. If they're black, they're great. If they're white, okay, get them. And they're put together, and through that, through their competition on the same team against other teams who are in the exact same space, white and black, and getting the and earning the love and respect of each other inside a locker room, I think it's one of the most organic places where race ceases to be an issue in American society. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I am saying it's way ahead of normal society, as we've seen in the streets, because in an NFL locker room, they don't riot against each other. They sit down and talk, and black guys talk to white guys in a place from a place from love and respect, and white guys listen from a place of love and respect, and they offer their opinions in a place of love and respect. So in that case, it's an environment where you'll find much deeper substantial conversations about where guys come from, why they believe what they believe, how they got to the beliefs they believe in, and take time to get there with each other. And I've always felt like people, the average fan in the stands, doesn't understand that when those guys slap a high five on the field after a touchdown, it's not just a white guy and a black guy. It's guys who really love each other regardless of what they look like. And at the end of a game, even now, it started almost 30 years ago when I was playing, that right at the in 1989, 1990,
when the Gulf War happened, and white guys and black guys after every game would gather at center field and begin to pray together for the reconciliation of our country and for the health and safety of our armed forces, and that transcended race, and it still does. And now that brotherhood of respect and love, especially with free agency, and that little prayer circle in the middle crossed sidelines. Now their team, our team, would gather to pray together. So it for me, I wish more people had the insight that professional athletes do, and the comfort to speak together like professional athletes do in locker rooms, privately and publicly sometimes, where they display support for one another. And they do that. And I think that's one of the things that professional sports has given our country. And we have each actually two, even Buffalo Bills on our squad now. And you've got it too. Zay Jones and Ray McLeod, Dean Marlowe. I mean, they're doing some stuff in the aftermath of the protest this weekend that are enlightening and comforting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sports unifies people in so many ways. It breaks so many boundaries and tears down so many walls. And we saw on social media this weekend that Ray McLeod, who's in Florida and participated in the team training activities this weekend that were organized by Josh Allen, Ray and his younger brother and a few players from the NFL, Auden Tate, they went and cleaned up near a Champs store in Tampa. And it was cool to see some of those videos of, you know, people taking initiative. I think Ray and his brother just had an idea and just wanted to help clean up and help give back to their community after some of the destruction caused. And Dean Marlowe and his wife put something out on social media just offering up their hands to help clean up Buffalo. So I think amidst the destruction from the people who've been violent and the looters, we're seeing people that want to help during this time, and people who, you know, want to keep their communities safe and clean and healthy.
Yeah. Oh, Maddie, I'm glad we had this little chit chat to start the show. I know there was so much going on over the weekend that we wanted to touch on. We know we're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills. And let's just take a quick break here. As we go to, before you mentioned, those guys are down there working out in Florida and they're doing it together. And you saw, you know, they got little video clips. These guys are hugging and they've never met before. Josh Allen, Steph Diggs give a big hug. It's like, you know, you see two people on the movie screen, it's like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker hugging, you know? I mean, it's like these two guys you've seen so much about, and you never see them on screen hugging. So finally, Bills fans get a chance to see these guys at least on the same video screen and understand they're on the same field. Lots going on, and there's lots to talk about Josh Allen and the quarterbacks setting up these workouts and how many guys were down there. It'll be fun to talk about that. So I'm glad we had got some important stuff out of the way before we move on to the Buffalo Bills and this offseason and how strange it's going to be. Maddie Glab, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. You can call us if you want about what we're going to talk about. We also have a little Twitter poll we can get to as well. We'll take a break first and make this break a little bit more serious. So thanks for bearing with Maddie and I as we kind of vented over what happened over the weekend and got some of our personal thoughts out. We know that we don't cover all the bases and we're not any type of authority on what has happened, but we know all of you have some feelings that you're going through too, and I would invite you to vent those to each other and find somebody to talk about. There's a ton of books that my daughter-in-law has recommended to our family. One specific, you can go out and find something that from a perspective that's not your own and read up on it and see what everybody's saying about it. So I invite you to do that. I'll have a book that I'll recommend shortly as soon as I read the one that was recommended to me by my daughter-in-law. I don't want to recommend it until I read it. I've been advised, so I'm not going to do that. So it's Maddie Glab, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We're radio only these days. We're still getting closer to the fact that we may be back in the studio. Maybe. I don't know. It's not even a dot on the horizon yet. So, and things change so quickly. It's not a dot on the horizon. It may be in our rearview mirror by next week. Who knows? I doubt it. We're going to take a break. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab. This is One Bills Live, brought to you by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Matty Glad. We were talking the first hour about the events of the weekend and also some of the things that are going on around it with, you know, some of the Buffalo Bills have, you know, offered to help clean up, you know, Ray McLeod, Zay Jones, Dean Marlowe and his wife. We've also got word that there's a bunch of guys, Bills guys, it's like 20 of them, working out down in Florida. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that.
Including offensive linemen.
Yeah, right. So that's going on now, which is kind of cool. It's very cool. It's not just kind of cool. It's very cool. And also, we've got a Twitter poll. And it's not a poll. It's more of a question. And it's an open-ended question. So usually we don't get as big a response from people over our Twitter polls when they're not poll. You know, we don't have a choice to make. But this is an open question. And this is this. The biggest surprise for the Bills in 2020 will be what? What's going to be the biggest surprise for the Buffalo Bills in 2020? You can tweet at us. You can send us that and give us your reply. Or you can call us at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. The phone lines are going to be open. We're going to take this segment all the way till, I don't know, quarter of, about 45 past the hour. You can call us now. We can pick up the phone and talk to you right now. 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. For those of you out of Buffalo, what's it make you think when, and I also read too that, you know, Peyton Manning had a Zoom meeting with the quarterback room of the Buffalo Bills, and he talked about what his brother Eli did, Eli Manning, back in 2011 in the lockout year. And what Eli did was he got plays and scripts. When I say a script, it means like a list of plays that you call and run through. And that's what they do in practice. They have a list of plays they're going to go through, and that's, you know, the playlist. So they'll go through that. It's not a music playlist. It's a play playlist, right? So they get scripts from coaching staffs, and they'd forward it or email it or whatever, and they would run through it, and they would have film, and they would watch film. So Eli Manning took control of the entire offense and had off-season workouts during the lockout of the 2011 season. And that's, you know, as okay, the story goes that, hey, that's, you know, the Giants win the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots that year on the helmet catch with David Tyree. That's not right, is it? It's the no, that was the other one. It's the other time they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So they win the Super Bowl after Eli takes this and takes the bull by the horns when nobody could practice and stuff. He got his guys together. So Peyton Manning relates that story in a Zoom meeting with the Buffalo Bills quarterbacks. Peyton said that Josh seemed really excited about that. And lo and behold, there are 20 guys down in Florida working out together during this pandemic. We've said all along, Maddie, Josh seems to have all those intangible leadership, yickety, yickety, yaks, you know, all that. Everybody loves him. He plays for me. He's courageous, runs the ball. It seems to be all the way around. He's got these guys together.
I think just like Peyton was saying with Eli, this season is similar to the lockout this offseason, but it's very different in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think in an offseason like this, you have to be creative. Teams aren't allowed in the facilities yet, so how can you be creative? How can you get together? How can you work together via Zoom or if it's meeting up in Florida? And we saw about 20 Bills players, offensive skill players, get together this past weekend in Florida, which was orchestrated by none other than Josh Allen. They all stayed in the same hotel. I was checking out some of their social media, and a lot of them were posting on Instagram that they were out to eat after training together. They found a place to train together. And I know you guys talked to Pete Bomarito on Friday about his complex, and that's amazing that they were able to train there. And I know Pete has connections to a lot of the current Bills players and Stephon Diggs and Devin Singletary and a lot of these guys that just train in Florida every offseason, regardless of what the offseason like looks like. And watching these guys get together in Florida is a way to be creative. And it's Josh showing his leadership skill set entering his third year in the NFL, which I think speaks volumes for him and what he's able to do and how he's able to get a group of 20 people together. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen met for the first time this past week and they got to practice for the first time together this weekend. That is amazing. These are things that get me really amped up and really excited for the season, is to see this chemistry is being built not only in Zoom meetings, it's now being built on a field in Florida. And I think these guys are also being smart about the way that they're going about it. Pete Bomarito explained in his interview on Friday that they've had to do different things because of COVID-19. They were just able to open their weight room this past week. They had to move it outside so they could practice social distancing. The guys have to go in and out of the complex with masks on and things like that. So I think they're doing it in smart ways. And if you're not allowed to be in the facility right now, find a way to train together and not waste this time.
Yeah, it's fun to think about, because I remember what it's like, you know, hang out with your guys and buddies. And think of, it sounds, if it wasn't for the pandemic, I mean, think about it. Let's go to Florida. We'll all stay in the same hotel. We'll work out during the day, go out to eat. It'll be a kick, right? I mean, most of us do that with golf, right? Or you want to do that, you know, like just go down and golf all with your buddies and stuff. These guys are, you know, in their early 20s, and they're down there running around the football field getting ready to play a professional sport. It sounds like from where we're sitting in Buffalo, it sounds like a lot of fun, right?
It does.
But it does give you a lot of sense of, man, these guys must be really having fun. And if they're having fun together, they're growing closer together, they're going to be a better team. We're going to talk about that. We're going to continue to talk about that. We also have Nate Davis from USA Today Sports. He's the NFL writer for USA Today. He's coming on with us later. We also have a guy named Scott Hallenbeck. Now, if that name's not familiar with you, that means you don't have kids playing youth football. Scott Hallenbeck is USA Football CEO since 2005. He's the guy that runs Football USA, all these youth football things all the way across the country. We're gonna talk to him about, you know, what they're doing. And because right now kids be starting to play football, you know, youth football and all of that stuff. Maybe it might be a little early, but pretty soon that, you know, they're starting to get their, you know, their fees in, starting to get fitted for equipment, starting to, you know, which town are you gonna play for or whatever. You know, these kids are gonna start getting their teams together and sign up, and I don't know that that's going to happen. They're going to have these huge webinars and stuff. So we're going to talk to Scott Hallenbeck about that, the USA Football's CEO. And we'll have him on later in the show, like about 2:30. But for right now, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. And I guess it's interesting for me, what'd you make of Davis Webb running the program? Like he strikes me, think about it. Third string quarterback is always the guy that's kind of the coach's kid, right? The guy who's the overachiever, who made it to the NFL, who's, you know, holds the clipboard, watched film with his dad. You know, I don't know if that describes Davis Webb or not, but he's obviously the guy now that's running the show. Josh is taking all the reps.
Which
Matt Barkley is probably busting his chops about it, but he's taking all the reps with Stephon Diggs and stuff. So they're down there working hard. A lot going on. There's a lot here to chew on. I'm sure other guys are working out. And even, you know, we heard Stephon Diggs and these guys and Josh Allen, he was in California working out with guys. So there's a lot of this going on around the country, and the Bills seem to be a big part of it.
Yeah, I think they're following suit with Sean McDermott's find a way that they've implemented a phrase this offseason. I think this team is doing just that. They're finding a way. And, you know, reading about what came out of these 3 days of training together, and you read that Davis Webb kind of led everything, speaks to the volume of the type of quarterback room that you have and the culture of this team and the type of players that they recruit. And that if you can't have Coach McDermott, you can't have Brian Daboll, you can't have quarterback's coach Dorsey in place right in front of you, well, hey, you've got backup quarterbacks who can lead, who can set something up. You've got Davis Webb who can set up a practice. You've got Matt Barkley who can help the younger guys. And to watch them all work together when there's not coaches in place again, I think speaks to the culture of this team, and to see Allen and Diggs starting to link up and Allen's taken every single rep with Diggs, I'm glad, because I want that chemistry to be there once the season starts in 2020. And you're reading more about how Josh looked in some of these training sessions, and some people are saying it looks like he had some more muscle on him and more control over his throws, and all this just gets me, it's like, it's making my skin boil with excitement, because we've had so little of what's supposed to be mini camps going on right now, and things to look forward to, and evidence to see, okay, this guy improved this offseason. We haven't been able to see any of that. So to read about this, some of this stuff, and to see pictures of it, I mean, I want to jump for joy, because I am so dang ready to see these players, to get to meet the new guys, and to get the season and training camp going.
Yeah, and it's funny, you and I are kind of in the same boat, because you know, we hear One Bills Live, we talk about it every day. That's it's almost our exclusive subject matter is the Buffalo Bills and what they're doing in and every day, how they're fitting into the National Football League, how their players are doing, their coaches, their philosophy, their team, their past, their present, their future. We talk, we chew the Buffalo Bills up every day, and they're not playing or practicing. I mean, and we talk about like this, we're talking about 20 guys working in South Florida together. Like it's the Super Bowl almost, because it kind of is for you and me. We chew this stuff up, can't get enough. And I know we've got a ton of Bills fans who, I mean, our content off hours, like they're going into the podcast, you know, they can get it, they can catch us on, you know, live every day, but they can stream us live on the Bills app. They can show portions of the show on BuffaloBills.com. And that stuff gets all kinds of hits, particularly when we're talking or having guests on who are talking about the Bills and what they're doing. And, you know, right now, Josh Allen, it's like, you know, it's like trying to find Howard Hughes. You know what I mean? He's like, where is this guy? He's like the most important guy out there. And you know, he's a recluse almost, but he's out there. He's down in South Florida. So I'm like you. I am busting at the seams to see these guys play together. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule and Twitter poll, what's going to be the biggest surprise about the Buffalo Bills 2020 season? If it gets off uninterrupted, that may be the biggest surprise sitting from here, right? Think about it. It's June 1st.
Yeah, I'm watching the tweets come in, and a lot of people agreeing with you, Steve.
That's right. It's June 1st. So we got all of June, all of July, and then August 13th, between the 13th and 17th, that first preseason weekend, they got a game somewhere in there, right? So, and we're headed to phase two. What, phase two? Two of four tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And each phase takes 2 weeks, and they probably won't go consecutively. Like, we'll probably have one that lasts maybe 2.5, maybe 3 weeks, maybe phase two does, or maybe phase three will stretch out. So we're sitting here looking. They're scheduled for a game. The earliest possible thing is August 13th. And that's, you know, June, July. That's, you know, 10 weeks. And they'll need minimum of 2 weeks to get ready for that game. Two. So that's, you know, 8 weeks, 2 months from today, or just, you know, just shy of 2 months, that they got to get together as a team with coaches on the field, fully sanctioned, open up, let's go. We're doing business as usual all of a sudden, or whatever, we work up to it, right? So I'm just like in the starting blocks, and there's no starter pistol, right? You know, I have nothing. There's nobody there to start the race yet. I'm just like standing around. So yeah, I'm with you, Maddie. Hearing about these guys working out and playing just gets me stoked for this game. And not just the Bills. I mean, everybody, the whole league. I want to see it. I don't want to see a European soccer. You know,
I see real NFL football. I think one thing that also makes
I don't want to see Korean baseball.
I'm done with it. But one thing that makes me pumped up too about these players getting together is to see some of the rookies there, to see Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins being able to train with these players. I think this off season for them is the hardest and the most important also, because you're entering the NFL, but you're entering the NFL where you're opening your playbook for the first time virtually with guys not to the right or left of you, with your position coach not in front of you teaching you this playbook. And when you look at how wide receivers transition in the NFL and sometimes how hard it is for them, because in college, depending on what type of wide receiver you are and depending on what offense you're in, you're asked to do so little. You're asked to run a few routes. You're the person who's always right. I heard Gabe Davis talking about this in the interview. Whatever route he chose to run, that was the right route, and the quarterback had to go to when the, he was doing his check down, had to look 1, 2, 3. These are my options. This is where I'm going to go. And so when you're trying to transition to the NFL and in a virtual off season, that's got to be so tough, and it's got to be very helpful to be able to talk to John Brown and Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley in person and to kind of pick their brains. And Dawson Knox talked about it in an interview a couple months ago. He's like, I am so thankful that I am not a rookie right now, because I'm a hands-on learner, and to do this would be so difficult for me. So I can't imagine how tough it is. I do feel good with the coaching staff that we have and with the veteran players that we have in the locker room, but man, it's got to be tough for them. And it's great that some of them were able to get to Florida to have that FaceTime, to watch that in person, to be able to run routes with those wide receivers and to have coaching from Josh Allen and Matt Barkley. I mean, that's hopefully going to pay dividends. And a lot of people have said this off season, you're going to be able to tell the teams that didn't take advantage of this time. When it comes time to play on week one, the teams that are the losers are going to be the teams that didn't do enough to find a way in the off season. And I think the Bills are doing enough right now.
Yeah. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glad, we're in One Bills Live. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. It brought up a cool point, because for most of these rookies, they don't know what it's like. And it seeing them do this down there brought up something to me, that this culture that we talk so much about with Sean McDermott. I mentioned this to you off the air, that one of the things that surprised a lot of people, particularly the young, the young players who came onto the teams I was a part of in the 90s. And they had this, you know, we were going to the Super Bowl all the time. And like 1 year, 2 years into it, we got this culture. And it was surprising for the young players coming into our team that we didn't have all these silly hoops for them to jump through. We didn't have all this hazing. We didn't have all this stuff. You got to earn your stripes, rookie. You got to do all this hard work. We didn't do that because our culture was such, and it was a lot like this culture here in Buffalo now, where the guys are so comfortable talking to each other. You know, Sean McDermott will have them, each one individually, stand up at certain points and tell their story. Where'd you come from? Who's your family? Why is this important to you? What are your goals? How'd you get here? All of these questions. And in doing so, it makes guys say, well, I don't have any secrets from these guys. I can be genuine with these guys. And when you go through a season like that, like the Bills did last year, and a somewhat successful season, you know, winning 10 games, getting to the playoffs, you get comfortable with that so much that when all these new guys come in, you find out they've been drafted, they're part of your team, you treat them the same way. These young guys are coming. I think the biggest surprise for guys like A.J. Epenesa and Zach Moss and Gabe Davis, Ike Hodgins, Dane Jackson, all these guys, they're going to be like, wow, these guys are acting like I'm on the team. They're acting like I'm one of the guys. They're acting like I'm not new. Like they're treating me like I'm a peer rather than a college kid. I think that's a real surprise, and I think that's a sign of a culture that is really healthy and growing. When you bring these guys in, their only rite of passage is to become comfortable revealing who they are with their teammates and being comfortable with that and being accepted for who they are. That's where this culture seems to be. It's what reminds me of the culture I was a part of that was so productive. And I think it's really cool. And I think, you know, with our little Twitter poll here, fill in the blank, the biggest surprise for the Buffalo Bills in 2020 will be what? And I think for these rookies, how cool this culture is and how much a part of it they will all feel so quickly, I think that'll be a surprise for some of them. I think some of them think, like, I got a lot to prove. I got to come in here and I got to, you know, show how tough I am. I got to, you know, prove to these guys I'm worthy of their respect. But when they come in and they get embraced so quickly by the veterans and the important players like Tremaine Edmonds and Josh Allen, I think that's going to surprise them. I think it's going to surprise them. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to think about, at least for an old guy like me.
And a lot of these rookies, I mean, every rookie that we drafted, not a lot of them, every single rookie that the Bills drafted is a mature football player. And you can tell that from the interviews they've been a part of. You can tell that they want to work their butt off and learn that playbook so that it's easier on the veterans when they all get back together in person. And I think one thing that helps with these rookies feeling accepted and feeling a part of the team is, of course, sharing stories. I think there's no better way to get to know somebody than get to know their hardships and what they've been through and what makes them themselves and what makes them tick. But I also think it's very helpful that we have a lot of young leaders on this team. Tremaine Edmonds, Josh Allen, these are young players who haven't been in the NFL for a long time. And when you can look to a young leader like those two, I think it probably makes that transition a little bit easier. Yes, we have old veterans too, but I think it helps when you have a leadership group that is a wide variety of ages. So you have a Mario Addison, a Jerry Hughes, who have been in the league for some time, but then you have a Josh Allen, a Tremaine Edmonds, a Devin Singletary, who's entering his second year in the league next year. And that helps when you can hold a lot of people accountable on the team.
Yep, Matty Glab, Steve Tasker, we're here till 3 o'clock. We're talking about the Bills training down in Florida. And it's funny, too, and we talked about it early in the show about what's going on this weekend and the protests across the country. And it's interesting, and I'll tell you this, this atmosphere that is in our country that is so emotional and emotionally charged for everyone will prove to be something that will strengthen a team like the Buffalo Bills, because in the atmosphere that you and I are talking about and those guys down in Florida, they'll sit down and talk about it. Black guys, white guys, all of them together, they'll talk about what it means to them, their experiences, their beliefs. And it won't be that all of a sudden they all agree and it's all great. It won't be, you know, they don't have to agree, but they will understand each other. And by understanding each other so much, they're gonna respect each other. And the journey that each of them has been on, that has been so different, you know, the white guy's journey has been so different from the black guy's journey, and they'll understand them each other so much better. And that leads to respect. And that respect means they're going to, you know, they're going to prepare hard for each other. They're going to work hard for each other. They're going to match the effort each other put out, and they're going to work together out of respect for each other. And then after that happens, it's about, you know, 5 seconds till they start loving each other like brothers and they're lifelong friends. That's just the way it evolves. So I wish that for them. I really do. I wish that kind of thing would for them, not just for the football and the productivity and the wins that it'll mean on football, because of what it'll mean to them as human beings. And they'll carry that with them throughout their lives, long after wins and losses that they accomplish together or endure together. So it's going to be really interesting to see in the stories that come out of these workouts in Florida. What is going to be the most surprising thing about the Buffalo Bills in 2020? You can give us a call at 803-0550. You can talk to Maddie and I here on One Bills Live, or you can call us at 1-888-550-2550 if you're down in Florida with, you know, with Josh and those guys. You can call us. That's the number you have to use. So give us a call. We're going to take a break. We've got a lot more coming up. We've got Nate Davis coming on from USA Today. We've got Scott Hollenbeck from USA Football. He's the CEO since 2005. Lots more. We're here till 3 o'clock. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab. Not from the Seneca Studios, but from our homes, radio only. We're brought to you by Kaleida Health. This is One Bills Live, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back to One Bills Live. I had to finish my last bite of macaroni and cheese. We're laughing in the break because the grandkids are at my house today, so I'm getting macaroni and cheese for lunch. So, which is nice. There are worse things to have for lunch than macaroni and cheese that your grandkids are eating. So that's good. We have this game. The biggest surprise for the Bills in 2020 will be. By the way, you're with Steve Tasker, Matty Glab on One Bills Live here in Buffalo. First of all, let's get to you, Matty. What's your answer? I mean, you can't just like hang out. You got to come up with, you know, your own opinion about what's going to be the biggest surprise for the Bills in 2020. What's it going to be?
I wrote a couple names down because I was thinking about it this morning when we decided this was going to be our Twitter question. I think there could be a lot of surprises. You know, what? How do you define a surprise? Is it somebody who is new on the team? Is it a rookie? Is it somebody who didn't do too great last year? Could they all be surprises? And thinking about that, some names that I wrote down were wide receiver, rookie, Gabriel Davis. I think with the linebacker situation, you could see a couple surprises. Now, we have Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and A.J. Klein is probably that third spot, but you have to have somebody to be able to rotate in. Is that Corey Thompson? Is that Voshon Joseph? Dean Marlowe could have a bigger role this season in what he was able to do playing nickel. Zach Moss, could he have a breakout year his first year? Josh Norman, how will he play on a role?
So who you? What's your you're skirting around your answer and you're not giving me an answer. Come on.
Gabriel Davis is my answer.
Okay.
Gabe Davis. Right. Yep.
I will say that. I'll take that. The wide receiver.
Yeah, I think what I've read just from the way that he leads and he carries himself and what he was able to do at UCF and the records he broke on a really good team, I'm very excited for what he could do on this Bills roster with Josh Allen in his first season. It seems like he's a super smart wide receiver. Brandon Marshall has had said some great things about him. So I'm expecting some good things from Gabe Davis this year.
Here's my biggest surprise. That's a good one, by the way. I like it. I was thinking more big picture. And a lot of people are like, we're not going to get to the tweet sheet because I'm going to take up the rest of the time with my opinion. But because we're going to stop. Here's what I think. Here's my, not prediction, but here's what I think is going to be a great surprise. And I'm, you know how we already got emotional the first part of the show. And when I started thinking about this, I started getting, because I cry at a really good beer commercial. So I'll try and get through this because this brings me to tears because of my city, Buffalo. Okay. Here's what's going to happen.
Let's hear it.
The season's going to go off without a hitch, except that there's not going to be very many fans in the stands. There may be a time, particularly at the beginning of the season, they may start out with zero fans. You know, it's just going to be nobody there. And then by the end of the season or as they work through the season, maybe the stages will get there. They'll feel more comfortable with a higher percentage of fans there. Maybe the people only in dugouts, only in the suites where they can stay separated with their own isolation pods. And they'll make all their necessary protocols and all the concessions and the adjustments to get the season going and stuff. The Bills will play well. I believe that. I think they're going to play really well. I think they're going to adjust to this really well. They're going to get in. They're going to make the playoffs. So they're going to get it. And then the playoffs are going to happen. They're going to have a vaccine by then. And all of us are going to be in the stadium together for the first time after that season.
Oh, that would be amazing.
There'll be a home game, and it will be the first time when we can all go together. All 80,000, the media. Yeah, what a moment. Right?
Oh yeah.
That's my call. It will be empty or virtually empty until we get to the playoffs, and the Bills will have a playoff. Maybe a couple of rounds of play. Maybe it'll be the AFC Championship game in Buffalo, and it'll be pro sports thing that will be all people in the stadium, and it'll be Buffalo.
Sign me up for that.
Sign me up. That's my call.
Where can I sign?
All right, so you and I have answered what our biggest surprises for the 2020 season was. You jump on board and answer it. What do you think the biggest surprise for the Buffalo Bills will be in 2020? 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. At the top of the hour, we're going to have Nate Davis, USA Sports NFL writer. He's covered the NFL since 2005. We got some stuff. He's got a great list of 20 rookies he thinks are going to make a difference in the National Football League. We'll talk about that. Matt Eglab, Steve Tasker from One Bills Live, brought to you by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio, and we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.